This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Is AI becoming God in families and the church? Can AI be guided by the Holy Spirit? Today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look at these further issues as we continue our discussion concerning AI that began yesterday, when AI becomes God versus when AI serves God. As indicated by Elon Musk, you may recall, in 2014, he spoke at a symposium where he warned, with artificial intelligence, we're summoning the demon. What did he mean by that? Well, perhaps you can add your own definition to that, because we're now 11 years down the road and things are increasingly that direction. So today on Viewpoint, we take a further look at how AI becomes God in families, and then also asking the question, can AI be guided by the Holy Spirit? That's a feature article, by the way, that came up in the Christian Post. And so I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation as always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And rather than the Bible transforming us, it's almost as if AI is being used as a surrogate or a substitute, and it's becoming an increasingly transforming power, not only in our families, not only in business and so on, but also in our churches. Well, I would think that that would be something of considerable concern and importance to many people. On the other hand, people will say, well, that's just, you know, it's just technology. Technology keeps changing and advancing. People thought that the telephone, when it came out, was ungodly and worldly, that electricity, when it came out, was ungodly and worldly, as the Amish tend to believe. And so what's the problem with technology? Well, we have to discern. We have to discern, is there a problem with technology? And if so, where does the problem lie? The interesting thing is that all of these things, whether they come on the wings of culture, whether they come on the wings of science, technology, and so on, they tend to find their way gradually into the warp and woof of our lives, don't they? So they don't come swooping in and drop AI bombs on us. Rather, they come in gradually, like the fog. As Robert Frost wrote in his poem, the fog comes in on little cat feet. Well, so does AI. Artificial intelligence comes in on little cat feet. And it comes in ways that most people are not even aware of. In fact, I have to admit that all of this is relatively new and, in some respects, to me, almost inconsequential, because I don't delve into that realm. I'm not in that realm. On the other hand, we can say, well, I'm not in that realm, but that realm is increasingly in me, because it's happening. It's happening everywhere. It's inserted insidiously into every single aspect of our lives. So it's almost like a virus that you can't stop. In fact, it's like COVID except on steroids. Because at least with COVID, it can be stopped. But with this, it's almost impossible to stop. Because once it got going, it has a life of its own. There is no antibiotic. There's nothing to actually stop it. Science could actually, the scientists, engineers, and so on, could, I suppose, have a, shall we say, exercise a fatwa against AI, against artificial intelligence, and kill it. Well, maybe they could. I don't know. But they won't. They won't, because science itself has become a virtual god in our world today. It's not just science itself, but it's scientism. It's the spirit of science. The idea that human beings have that science is, shall we say, the all-knowing, all-truth-giving arbiter of truth, and therefore we have actually delegated to science a level of authority that makes it a virtual god. And so science itself has become a kind of idol in our society, especially in the West, especially in the West. So all that having been said, we're going to not summon a demon, as Elon Musk said concerning AI, but we are going to explore how AI becomes God, and indeed how it's happening in our families, and then also asking a very profound question concerning whether or not AI can be guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, you may think, well, that's really far out. Well, here's the article. It came out of Plano, Texas, right north of Dallas. As artificial intelligence surges into the future, reshaping the world with breathtaking speed, many Christians in the tech realm are wrestling with its spiritual weight and wondering how this powerful technology might redefine the faith, work, and human connection in the days ahead. So over 500 participants from over 100 organizations across 30 countries traveled to the Dallas suburb for the sold-out Missional AI 2025 Summit held at One Community Church Plano campus. That's right. It was called AI Collision, Shaping the Future Together. A three-day conference exploring the technical and spiritual aspects of how AI can amplify kingdom impact through cross-disciplinary collaboration, bringing together AI professionals, church leaders, and mission advocates to tackle ethical AI, theology and technology, as well as AI's role in the church. And the bottom line was, can AI be guided by the Holy Spirit? What would be your answer? Just asking. What would be your answer? Just off the cuff, what would be your answer? Can AI be guided by the Holy Spirit? Well, who's guiding AI? Where is the input coming from? Is everybody that's putting in the digital input into AI across the world being led by the Holy Spirit? If not, then how can we say that AI can be guided by the Holy Spirit? Or is it some other spirit? Is it an unholy spirit that's guiding AI? Is it that we're just rationalizing, wanting so bad to become part of the, shall we say, the one-upsmanship of AI and be part of the glorious development of technology in the church, so that we're willing actually to rationalize in any term in order to be part of the explosion of artificial intelligence? Just throwing it out there, friends. So again, I welcome you to Viewpoint. Stay tuned, friends. I urge you to become a partner. You might want to consider getting a copy of my book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. It doesn't even talk about AI, but it does talk about the principles of seduction. And indeed, we're being seduced. We're being seduced big time, even by our own willingness and desire to be seduced.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. Yesterday we talked about when AI becomes God. We talked about the relationship, for instance, the similarity between AI and Ouija boards. That's right. It's nothing I made up. It's something that actually technocrats looked at and thought, wow, there is definitely a similarity between AI and Ouija boards. Interesting. You might want to listen to yesterday's program right on our website, saveus.org. All of our problems are, our programs are appear there, and they stay there for up to about a year, so you can listen to them. You can tell your friends, Romans and countrymen, to listen to them, and I hope that you do. I hope that you spread the message that way, because, quite frankly, this program is used by many people. People who are serious about their faith, serious about the issues of our time, and they find this particular program to be unique in that it's not just about information. It's about life change. It's about actually conforming our word, will, and ways to the word, will, and the ways of the Lord, and looking at the issues of our time as the means of identifying perhaps where we've gone off the rails, where we're deviating, where we're being seduced, where we're being led astray, like the Pied Piper. And so I hope you're using the program in that regard and telling others about it. I hope also you're using the books that we have there on the website. I was interviewed today by another ministry, in fact, for 2 hours, 2 one-hour segments. And the host of that particular ministry was talking about our website to her viewers and listeners and commenting about what a terrific website that we have. Well, if you're not using that website, if you're not availing yourself of it, if you're not availing yourself of the various interviews that can be found there, even where I myself am being interviewed by other people, it's very insightful, very helpful. And all of our books and our materials are up there on the website, including fact sheets. And I'll tell you, there is a wealth of information and for transformation right there on the program. For parents who are looking for ways to lead their families in meaningful and serious discussion, applying the Word of God in contexts that are highly relevant for our times, that will capture the attention of your kids, especially those, say, 11, 12 ages and older. These books, like Seduction of the Saints, are terrific for that. And every chapter is followed by questions that help to massage the issue, provide provocative thinking question, and it helps parents and grandparents to be able to deal with these issues with their kids. The same is true in small groups. These books are absolutely perfect for small group discussion. Oh, they're not about touchy-feely things. They're about the things that really matter, about the things that are life-changing, about the things that will help us to prepare our minds, our hearts, and our lives for the coming of the Lord, and so on. They're relevant beyond imagination. In fact, the talk show host today that interviewed me was almost blown away by the things that were shared just out of one part of one of my books. Just one part. There's a vast array of things that are there for you. Now, today I wanted to suggest that you might want to get a copy of the book Seduction of the Saints, Staying Pure in a World of Deception. I do not think you're going to be disappointed. It's an $18 book, yours for $15 on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. You see, this particular book deals with a whole lot of it's divided into sections: the nature of seduction, the truth about deception, gateways to deception, false gospels for synthetic times, and seducing spirits and doctrines. It covers such a vast array of things that in many respects you wouldn't even think about. You wouldn't even be prone to think about. But it's still capturing our minds and our hearts. So, all that having been said, get your copy right there on the website, saveus.org, Seduction of the Saints. Okay. Now, delving back into this matter of AI, we want to first look at the question or the issue of how AI is becoming God in our families and in the church. So, Jeff Bayard, in writing this particular article, says we examine the sobering concept of AI, that it's becoming God, where artificial intelligence is quietly positioned as a substitute for God's authority in modern culture. Notice his emphasis is quietly positioned as a substitute. How AI is being treated, not as a tool, but as an all-knowing, ever-present moral guide. Yes, even spiritual guide. So, AI in Christian homes, where does this connect? Well, the first thing he notes is through entertainment and media. For example, he said children are immersed in shows and games where AI-powered characters are portrayed as wise, powerful, and emotionally intelligent. He gives a variety of illustrations here of some of those programs. I personally am not familiar with them. I don't have young children, so I'm not familiar with them. These characters, he said, often blur the line between creation and creator, teaching children that identity is malleable, truth is subjective, and machines can provide emotional fulfillment. Really, machines can provide emotional fulfillment. In other words, we don't need people anymore. So AI is being used, whether you realize it or not, it's being used to separate people from one another. Social media is doing exactly the same thing. That's why the more social media that people are on, the greater their depression, the greater they're likely to be suicidal, the greater they're feeling lonely. It's separating, not creating social, but anti-social behavior. It's hard to believe that. You say, well, I get so connected, or I can connect so quickly with other people, and I can look at some pictures and so on. Yes, you can do that. But what's missing is the interaction between people in live time, talking with one another, thinking together, looking one another in the eyes, sensing the affect of the person, not just the words, but the spirit in which they're saying them, and so on. In other words, the human element is increasingly missing. AI companions are becoming emotional substitutes, says this article. Apps like Replica, Character AI, Heyo, and Talk to Me Slimy are widely used in the U.S. and allow kids to create and chat with AI friends. Well, there's no such thing as an AI friend, friends. That's a pretense. That's not real. So the writer here says these companions, AI companions, provide constant affirmation, entertainment, and pseudo or false friendship. They gradually replace the God-designed relational dynamics between parents, siblings, and godly mentors. I agree. I don't even have to know what these programs are. I know how this works. And it's very, what would be the word? It comes in on little cat feet. It slides into our lives. It doesn't come in and say, hi, I'm here to deceive you. No, it deceives you indirectly. It deceives you and seduces you into a different world, an artificial world that is not a world created by God, that is a world created artificially to replace God and the world that he created. In the pulpit, AI in Christian homes and churches, how the AI is the AI church is emerging. He's actually calling this the AI church. In a German Protestant church, an AI-generated sermon was preached using ChatGPT. While this was outside the U.S., similar interest is emerging among American churches under the guise of innovation. You see, there's always a rationale. Oh, we've got to be innovative. Really? Innovative to use that which is false and phony to become real? Come on, my friends. We're being seduced. Under the guise of information. Anything can be presented under the guise of something else and make it look good. But ultimately, says this writer, the risk is clear. When churches hand spiritual teaching over to machines, the presence of the Holy Spirit is replaced with convenience. Convenience? Yes. Because the pastor or parachurch leader or Sunday school teacher or parents or whatever, whoever's doing this leadership and teaching wants to use something artificial to do that which God required to come from them listening to him. You say, well, it's so convenient. God didn't tell us to be convenient. There's nothing in the Bible that talks about being convenient. Nothing in Jesus' life was convenient. Nothing in the apostles' life was convenient. Nothing in the prophet's life in the Old Testament was convenient. It was about conviction. It was about serious life issues and living them out from God's viewpoint and proclaiming the word by the inspiration, not of AI, but of the Holy Spirit. The writer goes on here to say that many pastors need to digitize everything, from sermons to small group discussions, but relevance should never come at the cost of reverence. Let me repeat that. Relevance should never come at the cost of reverence. The church's authority is not its trendiness, but the eternal word of God. Churches replace hymnals with big screens and praise songs that don't seem grounded in the traditional singing of psalms. Everything is synthesized. AI Bible study tools are taking place now. Currently, apps like YouVersion, experimenting with AI features that answer biblical questions. While helpful on the surface, or at least seeming to be helpful on the surface, these quick answers can encourage shallow engagement and discourage prayerful study. When believers turn to algorithms before turning to God, AI begins to take the role of teacher and counselor. Now, if you were to, and frequently I will do this, I will take something that I want to know, not in great depth, but I want to have just a simple definition or understanding of something. So I will Google that and ask a question. And up comes a statement, usually somewhere around one paragraph, which at the top says it was AI generated. Every time, AI generated. So it's not coming from anybody that's doing any work to produce these definitions. It's coming from an amalgamation of digital information that AI, artificial intelligence, is gleaning in order to present what purports to be the truth about that particular subject in a distilled form. The problem is it's a distilled form. Secondly, it may not be the truth at all, or it may only be partially true. I have found that to be the case sometimes. What was said sounds interesting, but it is not totally true. It's only as good as what's put in. And when you don't have to go to the Word of God yourself to get the answers, you're already defying what God told us to do. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. So you're going to let AI divide the Word of Truth for you. Is God happy about that? What do you think?
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation as always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and we're daring to confront the deepest issues of America's heart and home. And one of those happens to be the artificiality of AI, artificial intelligence. So, as I indicated to you today, I'm trying to make available to you my book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. And the reason for that is not because it talks about AI, per se. It talks about how deception comes. It comes in a variety of ways and slithers in before you realize it. So we have to be aware. AI is coming in exactly the same way. So you might say, well, has God said you shall study the Word of God you should study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Has God said that? Yes. Okay. So then you ask the question, yes, but what if you could do this through going to AI and chatbot and have chatbot GPT and create this yourself by just merely asking a question or putting in an inquiry? That's exactly the same thing, friends, as what happened in the Garden of Eden. I want to help us to understand this. In the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, Satan did not put down the Bible initially. He actually amplified the Bible. He got Eve to focus on what God said. So he said, he presented to her, hath God said. So he's focusing on God. Well, that sounds so good. We can get AI to focus on God. We can get almost anything to focus on God. We can go into a bar and focus on God. We can go down to the strip joint and focus on God. We can justify almost anything in the name of God. So Satan says, hath God said that you should not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat of it, you should surely die. Eve says, yes. Well, so far, everything is pretty good. But, and that's where the problem comes in. Rationalization that takes you off the fine point of what God said. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. So Satan inserts another line of thinking. Well, yes, but, and now he's going to try to tell you the motivation that God has in giving that command, that restriction. So he says, well, you know, God knows that in the day you eat of that tree, you're going to be just like him. You're going to know good and evil. Ain't that cool? So he's now seduced Eve by using the Bible. AI can do exactly the same thing, friends. But here's the point that I'm trying to make here. Just as Satan can use the Word of God and then put a twist on it to get Eve to be seduced by her flesh to desire to be like God, knowing good and evil. So we can be seduced when God says, no, I want you to study to show yourself approved unto God. I don't want you. My goal is not for you to go and use secondary sources to try to replace my word. I want you to go to my word. It's my word. That's what I want you to go to. I don't want you to go to somebody else's word. I want you to go to my word. That's the danger, by the way, of so many commentaries. I very seldom use a commentary. Why? Because it's man's word. It's not God's word. And man will say what he wants to say. He'll say whatever he thinks that he wants to say, whatever inspiration he gets from AI or from the enemy of your soul or anything else, or from his cultural upbringing or from his denominational predilections. That's not what God has asked us to do. He asked us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, his word, so that we might rightly discern the truth from error. The moment we make an excuse to do an end run around what God says, however well we justify it, is the moment we're in danger. Because we can do that with almost anything. And that's what pastors now are being tempted to do with AI. Churches are replacing hymnals. They're replacing, even you could replace a worship team with AI. But now you don't have people involved anymore. So these quick answers encourage shallow engagement and discourage prayerful study. So when believers turn to algorithms before they turn to God, AI begins to take the role of teacher and counselor. So we're called to discernment. We're called to teach the Word of God diligently to our children, not outsource it to glowing screens produced by phony AI characters that have no intention whatsoever of telling the truth and displaying the truth about God and his Word. We're just using that as a babysitter, not doing what God asks us to do. Daily Bible readings should be used in printed Bibles. Family discussions should engage on how to evaluate digital tools and not be taken over by them. Worship that centers on Scripture, not technology. So, believe it or not, this may come as a shock to you, but an article came out in the Epoch Times a few weeks ago, indicating that people who read the Bible actually get far more out of it and remember more than those who listen to it, or those who listen to teaching about it, reading the Bible. But we become a voyeuristic culture. We think that viewing a screen is sufficient. It's not. It's very different. It engages the brain differently. There's so many ways that we become seduced. Are we summoning some sort of a demon in our lives to distract and deceive us? Well, apparently Elon Musk thinks so. He said so back in 2014. Now we're going to talk about the question of whether AI can be guided by the Holy Spirit. That's an interesting question. And we are going to talk about it. Whether you want to call this the rise of techno-paganism, the gods of technology and so on, like we talked about yesterday, but today we're applying it very specifically in some areas so that we can actually think about what we're doing and how quickly our pastors and parachurch leaders and authors and so on are yielding to the temptation to try to make an end run around quieting our hearts, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit for inspiration, rather than going to an artificial source to try to avoid perspiration. In other words, to make it easy. I want to assure you that I could not have written any one of the 11 books that I have written using AI. Why? Because every one of them was based on specific inspiration and revelation concerning those issues so that the book had ultra relevance. It wasn't just about producing a book. I don't write books just to write books, and I don't write books to sell books. I write books to communicate a message that God wants to communicate to his people in these desperate times to prepare the way of the Lord, so that we're not deceived, so that we're walking in righteousness and in holiness, and so that we're staying on the straight and narrow path, so that we are inspired by those things that God wants us to be inspired by. So I tell people regularly, I don't write by perspiration, I write by inspiration. I don't write according to some publisher's schedule that they want a book published by such and such a time, so you better get your manuscript in by that time. I don't write that way. I want to wait until I have the right inspiration for a particular chapter, and then I write. I'm not in a hurry. God's not in a hurry either, my friends. God's not in the commercial publishing business. He's in the business of communicating his heart and his word to prepare us, to protect us, and to provide for us. So, again, the question, can AI be guided by the Holy Spirit? We talked earlier about this gathering that took place just outside of Dallas, Texas, 500 participants from over 100 organizations across 30 countries that went there for the sold-out Missional AI 2025 Summit. The moment they say missional is the moment they've already begged the question. They've already concluded that AI is a missional tool. What they should have asked is AI a proper missional tool? But they concluded in advance that it was. So the only thing left to say is, okay, now how do we use it as a missional tool? That's not the right approach. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
If indeed God is preparing the church to, shall we say, restart or reinstitute first century Christianity for the 21st century, then going the direction of AI is just the opposite. Exactly the opposite. So the conference down there in Dallas was called AI Collision, Shaping the Future Together. Okay, now we've got a problem here with this title. First, they say AI Collision. That's a reasonable subtitle or theme for the conference. But then when they attach to that, Shaping the Future Together, they're implying right in the very theme that, well, there may be a collision, but we're going to use all that to shape the future together. In other words, we're going to buy into AI lock, stock, and barrel. Let's see how we can do that. That's really what it was about. It was a three-day conference exploring the technical and spiritual aspects of how AI could amplify kingdom impact through, now we start using fancy words and phrases to make it look really serious, cross-disciplinary collaboration. Cross-disciplinary, okay. Bringing together AI professionals, in other words, people that are addicted to AI, that are already committed to use it no matter whether or not it's aligning itself with the word, will, and the ways of the Lord. Church leaders and mission advocates to tackle ethical AI. By saying ethical AI, they're implying that there is non-ethical AI. And how are you going to tell the difference? So the lineup of speakers included Pat Gelsinger, former CEO of Intel and chairman of Gloo, G-L-O-O, a leading partner of the event, and David Kinnaman, CEO of Barna Group, along with leaders from Google, DeepMind, Meta's AI division, McKinsey, Masterworks, and the TV hit show The Chosen. Well, friends, do you not see what this is all about? It's all about the culture. This isn't about Christ. It's about the culture. Importing the culture into the church to try to make the church more effective to preach Christ. Something doesn't ring right with that. From keynote messages to breakout sessions, the Missional AI Conference covered a broad spectrum of topics and buzz phrases pertaining to AI, including what's known as Agentic AI, which utilizes autonomous systems to make operational decisions and perform tasks without human intervention. Well, there may be such things, but not in the teaching of the word. There may be mechanical functions that AI might be able to be effective for, but not for the fundamental communication of the gospel. Also, a topic of conversation was how future missions will integrate a blockchain-based version of the internet known as Web3 to expand the reach of the gospel message. Really? Now, that would be fascinating. How is AI itself going to expand the reach of the gospel message unless it's all phonied up? Because it's artificial. It's not real. Another panel was titled The Sweet Smell of Data, Fertilizing the Work of Bible Translators with AI. Using AI for Bible translation. Panelists solicited questions for the audience, one of which focused on the emerging tension between human endeavor and technological prowess, and where the role of the Holy Spirit fits in. Ah, now we're starting to get to something that makes sense. It's different. So the writer says, I think that ultimately God and the Holy Spirit works through the church, through people to translate the Bible, said one of the participants, who described AI as a supportive tool. Okay, maybe AI could be a supportive tool in some way. Maybe helping to understand this other language or something, I'm not sure, is certainly not a specialty of mine. But to say that God and the Holy Spirit works through the church, through people to translate the Bible, yes, that's true. The Holy Spirit works through the church, that's people, to translate the Bible. That's the truth of the matter. Everything else is falsity. So they say what we're trying to do here with these models, that is, these AI models, is that we're trying to build a model that is a model of the translation team. It's a model of people. It's a model of the decisions and the style, the way that the team would translate the Bible. In other words, we're going to create an artificial translation team according to what we believe a translation team should look like. So the AI becomes the new translation team. I don't know if you're getting any of this. I got a real problem with it. They say by eliminating or reducing drudgery aspects of the translation process, they believe that ultimately human resources will be freed up to focus on the more spiritual aspects of translation. Well, what are the more spiritual aspects of translation? I thought the whole process was the spiritual aspects of translation. Because if you don't translate the words accurately within the spirit of what is being said, which AI cannot do, you've already missed the point. A lot of the value created by AI, they say, is augmenting drudgery and reducing the time to insight. For us, there's not a moral quandary or a theological problem here because we don't see any of this as replacing the human-centric nature of Bible translation. Okay, you better be careful. So, these are just some of the things. Now, Richard Zhang, a researcher with Google DeepMind, reflected in his keynote address on Christians working in the AI development field on better ways to define the conversation surrounding AI and some of life's biggest questions. In other words, use AI to really change the questions, to make it more saleable, to make it more marketable, to make it more sweet, to make it more generalized, so that we don't step on anybody's toes. Zhang framed AI's reasoning advancements through a theological lens. He said, it's not just blurring the lines between human and AI, it's actually blurring the lines between life and death itself in many ways. Instead of thinking of AI becoming more human, I would propose that it's more that like AI is exposing the parts of us that were dead already. Oh, well, that's interesting. So AI is more real than we are. Apparently, God is going to infuse AI with his Holy Spirit. And AI is going to start speaking in tongues, and it's going to be energized, and it's going to have its own Pentecost. No, God reigns in people. God has not ordained that artificial intelligence be infused with the Holy Spirit or that somehow the Holy Spirit, the AI becomes the new techno temple of God. For he doesn't live in temples made with hands, so now he's going to live in AI. One writer says, it'll all point to Jesus. As intelligence gets cheaper, it will humble us. It'll make us become truly desperate for God in a way that will be almost uncomfortable, he said. Again, the idea of like blurring the lines between humanity, between robots, and between God. And as we blur this line, we'll discover what really makes us Christian, what really gives us life, and what really helps us to understand what it means to be made in the image of God, really. So by increasing focus on artificial humanity, on artificial intelligence, we're going to become more like God. Unbelievable. Talk about rationalization. That's almost worse than what Satan said in the garden to Eve. At least there he was honest. He said, well, you know, God doesn't want you to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because he knows that in the day you eat of it, you're going to be like him, knowing good and evil. Well, at least he was straightforward in saying that. But these people are saying, the more you use AI, the more you're going to be like God. Like almost demigods. So, I think perhaps you can see, this is not as clear as people would like to make it out to be. The church wants desperately to embrace the heights of technology, thinking that somehow that is going to ultimately replace the Holy Spirit. Because that takes too much time. We just can't wait on the Lord like that. We've got business to do, fish to fry, berries to tick, the gospel to proclaim. We got to get the message out there, and we're not going to wait around for the Holy Spirit anymore. We're going to embrace AI. Mm-mm-mm. Well, I've been thinking out loud with you, my friends. You may actually totally disagree with everything that's been said here. Or you might have, well, I wonder to what extent he's going too far in making these comments and so on. Think about it. That's all I want you to do is think about it. Don't be a sucker. Don't so easily be absorbed by the push to embrace everything about the latest and greatest of science and culture. We've been doing that now for 50, 60, 70 years, and the church hasn't become stronger, but weaker. All the statistics, all the facts point that direction. We're not more righteous people. We're not more holy people. We're not more inspired people. We're not seeking first the kingdom of God any more than ever before, in fact, less. And certainly not his righteousness. God wants you and me to seek him with a whole heart. With the heart, not with AI. He says, look, if you will seek me with a whole heart, I will be found of you. He doesn't say, if you will augment everything that you're doing with AI and build all kinds of artificial systems to make it easier for you to somehow get a hold of this idea and that idea concerning the Bible, that I'm going to be found of you. Not going to work that way. That's an illusion. It's a delusion. It's seduction of the saints. Get a copy of my book, Seduction of the Saints, friends. I think it'll really help you. Staying pure in a world of deception. It deals with so many issues that would help us. They have overarching value in our lives to enable us to live righteously in an increasingly wicked world. $15 will put this $17 or $18 book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at $6 for postage in your hand. Become a partner, friends. We've talked to you about that yesterday, how serious it is right now. If you want to continue to receive this message, this program, we're going to need your help quickly.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.